This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm wonderful.
Fantastic.
Because it's Saturday.
It's always Saturday, and every Saturday is always wonderful.
Hey, I've got an idea.
Yeah.
Let's make every day Saturday.
Can we do that? Do we have authority?
I don't know, but, you know, we wouldn't have to work. We just, every day we declare it Saturday. And say, no, we can't go to work today. It's Saturday.
I'm halfway there now, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, everybody loves my ideas.
If you can get the calendar changed around the world that every day is Saturday, I have a feeling you're probably going to be the new leader of the entire world.
Wouldn't that be neat?
That would be great.
Oh, yeah, and I would do special things, too.
What would you do? Because we all have to get it. It would be like being retired all the time. You wouldn't get up and go to work. What would you do with all your Saturdays?
Well, it might get boring after a while, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
We'd say, so many days you have to go to the Caribbean.
Ah, yeah.
You have to lay on the beach. You have to snorkel. You have to do all this.
Yeah.
You have to look at the turtles down there and all the beautiful fish.
Oh.
You have to sail around the world.
Oh, that'd be good. Yeah, that would take up some time.
Yeah, and we could do little fun things like that. Visit Bali. You know, you've heard about Bali all your life.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, some exotic, really exotic places in the world.
Yeah.
And we would get rid of North Korea.
Yeah.
We'd tell them they have to go somewhere else. They can't live on this planet. And, you know, we'd say, you know, we don't care where you go. You just can't be here.
Meh.
And we don't want to worry about you and your nukes anymore.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I would declare that food holidays every day.
Mm. Oh, yes.
You could have cake every day. You could have chocolate pie.
Mm.
My favorite thing in the world is chocolate pie.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah.
Love chocolate.
I'd say today is chocolate pie day. And we'd make every restaurant, instead of boring food, you had to have chocolate pie.
Mm-hmm. We could also, every Saturday, since every day is Saturday, every Saturday we could go out and grill a big steak on the grill.
Oh, my, yes.
Yeah.
And would you want a ribeye?
Yes.
Yeah, see, a ribeye, you know how thick they are.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd say, no more diabetes. Everybody can, you know, have all this wonderful food.
Yes. Wow.
And, our scientists would get rid of all this stuff. People wouldn't have all this, and they could have whatever they wanted.
Well, Faye, you're a genius, huh?
I
had no
genius.
Idea.
Hey, little children would love me.
Yeah.
But you mean we could have pie today?
Golly, most adults would love you. Are you kidding?
Yeah, they would, wouldn't they? And then everybody should have a Ferrari.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I would go all the way with this. I'd say, every household needs a Ferrari.
Yes.
Or maybe a Maserati.
Oh, that'd be nice, too.
Yeah, and you know, every man's dream is to own a little sports car.
Oh, yes.
You know, either a Vette, a Maserati, a Ferrari, you know, they just would love me. I mean, I'd sure be popular, wouldn't I?
You sure would be popular.
Oh, I love it.
We could change the name from Saturday to Faye Day.
I love that. A Faye Day every day. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, and you know, it would just, I think people would live forever.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you're eating pie every day and you've got a sports car and you don't have to work, oh, my gosh.
That's a reason to live every day, yeah.
I mean, you know, and I think everybody would get over all their illnesses because they'd be so happy.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you know.
Wow, oh, you are a genius.
Yeah, I just came up with that this morning, that every day ought to be Saturday.
You put all this together right now.
Yes, I could put it together immediately. You know, used to, everybody said, fake and put on a party better than anybody in the world.
Yeah.
And it's because I have imagination.
Yeah, clearly.
And, you know, I would do all these parties, and all my people at church would just be shocked because, you know, they never could think beyond the pie supper,
yeah.
You know, beyond having that little gathering, you know. And I would say, I'll hire a band. Well, what do you want in the band? And I would call the people and say, you know, I want one of each. You know, I've got to have a guitar. I need some horns. I need a saxophone. I need a piano player. And now I need a great singer. And they would just, you know, be amazed.
Yeah.
And they would be surprised that if I gave a party, there was fresh-cut flowers on every table.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. You know, I didn't do all this hinky stuff, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, wow. And then my grandchildren, when it's Easter, the big bunny arrives at the house.
Uh-huh.
You know, the bunny's 6 foot tall.
You are very creative. I got to give you that.
I mean, you know, I love creating things.
Wow.
And then when I bought them a train, people didn't believe we had a real train.
Yeah.
I mean, we have a real train with 3 cars. I mean, you know.
Everything you do is in excess, isn't it?
It is a little in excess, but it sure is fun.
It is. It makes life interesting, and it makes fun, and we need to have some fun in our lives.
That's right, because do you realize how serious our lives are?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, life is pretty serious, and so I figured that we've got to have some laughs,
yeah,
and we've got to have a little fun as we go along.
Yes, put aside our deadlines for a few minutes and enjoy ourselves.
That's exactly right. And as I said, it's going to make you live longer. If not longer, it'll feel like it's longer.
Yeah, in a good way.
That's right. You feel, you know, I don't have any aches and pains today because I'm having too much fun.
Yeah, and too much chocolate pie.
And too much chocolate pie. And, oh, my gosh. Now I will have to have chocolate pie before the day is over.
I know, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about it too much.
Yeah.
And there's only certain people that can make it right.
Oh, yeah. If you get a bad chocolate pie, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and, you know, and I want it cooked on the stove and done properly.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No instant pie for Faye.
Oh, no.
No. If you can't make it right, don't even call me.
No, don't call.
Yeah, don't offer me any just, you know, junk.
Yeah.
And junk food is what I call it.
You'll know off the bat, too.
You know what I know some of these women do? They buy that instant pudding and try to make chocolate pie.
No, you can't do that.
Can't do that. No. If you're a good cook, you do it right.
Yes. Do it old school.
Oh, yeah, I love old school. Well, now that we've, you know, settled the world's problems, created a new way to live.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I guess we better do the show.
Let's do that. What's the phone number?
The phone number is 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to my favorite store, Ivy Cottage.
And this is all about growing your money so you can retire happy, wealthy, and early. And I think we just nailed down the happy part.
We did. We've got it on the run.
Yeah. So now we just have to establish the wealthy and the early part. So this is all about growing your money. This is all about retiring. It's all about planning. And you've got some really great ways that people can go ahead and start saving for retirement, planning for retirement. It's not just a fluke when you turn 62 or 65, say, hey, I'm going to retire. What do I have? That's not how this should go.
No, you cannot start at 65 and say, oh, we need to call Faye.
Yeah.
You know, you need to call Faye way before then. You need to be calling me now and say, You know, I want to get this solidified. I want to know that I'm going to have enough money to retire.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then you've got to plan. You know, it's like anything. If you were going to fix a dinner for a bunch of guests, you would have to plan it. If you don't plan it and you just throw it together, they're not going to like it, are they?
No.
So it's the same way. You've got to say, I'm going to quit procrastinating. Procrastinating never made one dime for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So you talk to me, you say, let me tell you what I've got, you know, how many years it is to retirement. Here's my wife's IRA. Here's what she needs to do. Can you make us some money? That's the first thing people say. Can you make us some money for retirement? Well, yes, we can. The returns are not guaranteed. We don't know until we get into a policy. But once we get into a policy, you're going to know what you're going to make. You're going to know what life insurance company. You're going to know how old that person is that we bought the policy for you. And we know, you're going to know what percentage, and you're going to know if it goes over what it will cost you. And that's important. And if you can get on the right track and start, you know, toward that retirement, you'll be ready. You'll be singing and dancing when you retire instead of that glum old face that says, we got to go home and just set this one out.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You know, I mean, you don't want to do that.
No, you don't, because people have, they've done this before, and I'm sure you've seen it a million times where somebody thinks that they're ready for retirement, but guessing and thinking ain't going to cut it. You need to actually be ready and know for sure, because the last thing you want to do is retire and have to scale back and start planning, well, we can cut this out, we can cut that. That's not how it should go.
No, you want to have as much money per year in retirement as you do now.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making $120,000 a year, do you realize you're spending a lot of that? So if you retire, how are you going to cut all that? You're going to have the same expenses. You're going to have utilities. You're going to have insurance on your car, your pickup, your boat, your house. You know, you're still going to want to take a vacation. You're going to still have to buy new clothes occasionally. And then there's the grandchildren.
Oh
my, what you spend on them. I mean, you know. Everybody spends a lot of money on their grandchildren. You know, we just did an accounting for me for last year on my grandchildren.
Oh, boy.
We spent a lot of money. And, you know, you've got to make money if you're going to spend a good deal of money if you've got 4 or 5 grandchildren. I know people that have got 15.
Oh, wow.
Yes, I know somebody that has 15. He gives every one of them a Christmas present.
Really? 15 grandchildren?
15. Now, just that alone could be a fortune.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and everybody wants a lake house. Okay, you figure in one lake house. You know, it costs money to have a lake house.
Yeah.
The upkeep on that and the boat is tremendous.
Yes, yes. You've got not only the cost of it, the initial purchase price, but then you've got the upkeep, the maintenance, and all those types of things. Insurance.
That's right. And, you know, the upkeep on all that is quite a bit of money. So you can't say, well, I'll worry about my retirement later. You need to worry about it now.
Yeah.
And if you're going to retire early and happy, that means you have to have some money. People are not happy when they retire and don't have any money.
No, that does not make for a fun retirement.
No, it would not be good. So you have to say, okay, multiply it out. 10 years. You would have to have $1 million if you're going to live 10 years
mm-hmm.
and wanted $100,000 a year. So, and $100,000 is not much money. You know, used to $100,000 was a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's not very much money.
Not anymore, no.
No, I could spend $100,000 overnight.
I could do that in a weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think about it. You have to plan for your future. Your wife is not going to love you very much if you retire and you explain to her, well, all I managed to save is $150,000.
Uh-oh, that's trouble.
It's trouble looking you right in the eye, and you're going to have to explain that.
So
the best way to do it is start making money now, and you'll have plenty for retirement.
So as we lay out all the expenses and the things that people may be facing when they retire, and you know, the cost of things, what do you say to somebody who is thinking, oh my goodness, I can never afford that. That's too much. I'll never have enough. I'll never retire.
Well, they're going to procrastinate themselves right out of money. That's what's going to happen. Because you have to say, maybe we should try something different. Maybe Faye does have something, let's go and talk to her. Mm-hmm. And then most of them know some of our other clients. So they're saying, I know what the other clients have made. I think I want to go over and talk to it and pursue this. They come over, they talk to me, and they say, okay, what can I make? We say, well, about 1% a month is what we're paying, And if you're making 1% a month, that's 12% a year. And that, if you keep doing that year after year, you're going to double your money. It's not overnight. Like that guy that sent me a note the other day, you promised to double my money. And I said, I didn't promise to double it in 3 months. I mean, good Lord. we're talking 6 to 7 years.
Yeah.
But even if we double it in 6 years, and you're not ready to retire, that's a good return.
Sure.
If you made 12% a year, every year, and then look at all the ones that come in early. When that money comes in early, you get to reinvest it that same year. And this year, we've had so many come due in 2 months. It's just amazing. And if you can turn it twice in 1 year, you've really done something. And that doesn't happen often, but this year it has. We've had 3 policies come in 2 months.
That's crazy. Well, and they were what, 18, 24-month terms?
Yeah, they were. Wow. And it's shocking. And, we had the one, and I'm shocked that before we even got all the contracts signed, the man died. Well, they made the money. They made 15% in less than 1 month.
Wow, that's incredible.
And it may not ever happen again. Don't think that's just everyday things. It's not. Might never happen again. But it did. And so those people have got a chance to do more than one policy in 1 year, which is marvelous.
So what do you say to somebody who is maybe starting for planning for retirement and building their money? What if they're starting from the ground up? Say somebody's like 42 years old and they've maybe put away a little bit of money here and there, nothing really formal. They're just trying to generally, informally start a savings account. And they come to you and they say, Faye, we're starting from the ground up. We want to retire in 23 years.
Well, they've got a long, long time to do it. I mean, they could amass a small fortune in that length of time. Do you realize that? 23 years. The S&P in 23 years has had ups and downs, and we went back and did a study of the S&P for 20 years. People didn't make that much over 20 years.
Wow.
Some years it made 9, sometimes 6, sometimes 14, but it wasn't consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And ours is consistent. You know what you're going to make every time you do a policy. You've got to be diversified. You can't put all your money in one policy. You've got to have several in order to make this work.
So these are life insurance policies that you bid on, and then people who invest, your clients, they invest in these insurance policies, and then when it matures, then they make that profit. That's where all this is based off of.
That's exactly right. So when we buy those policies, we buy them with our client's interest, knowing that our client needs to make a certain amount of money. So if we can get it and get it for the right price, our clients are off and running. And if we can't, then we have to wait. And sometimes that happens. Sometimes we have to convert policies. Right now, there's a couple of big policies. We thought we would have them, 2 weeks ago. Well, they're being converted. They were a group policy. If you have a group policy and you sell your policy to our company, we have to convert that to a single payer policy out of the group. And sometimes it takes longer. But every day we're working on policies for our clients. That's what we work on. If we make them money, we'll make money. If we don't make them money, we're not going to make any money for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our goal every day. Get these people ready for retirement. And, most of them this year have had 3 policies mature. That's a lot in 1 year.
That is a lot. And it's, each one, say, roughly, and I'm just ballpark guessing here, each one maybe 24-month term, so they made 24% times three policies. That would be almost 75%, right?
Yes. Now, remember, one of them was a 15% because it was like a 15-month policy. They made 15% in 2 months. Then on that one, they made 15% in 1 month. Then the other one, like you say, was a 24-month. It came in early, but they got 24%.
Yeah.
So people made very good money, I think more than they're going to make in the stock market.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The return is fantastic. It's consistent, too. That's the other thing that I don't know if we stress enough is the consistency of investing in life insurance policies as opposed to the stock market.
That's right. It is consistent. It's time and time again, it goes the same way. You invest, you sit back and wait, and you don't get anxious and call every day or every month.
Because
we're going to tell
that.
You as soon as that policy matures, we're interested in it maturing as much as you are.
Yeah.
Now, most people get excited. I've got two or three people just act like it's just common everyday thing. And it's not. I mean, I get excited every time we get a call and they say, Faye, that $1 million policy has matured. And I go, oh, great. What'd we make? You know, what'd our clients make? And, we try to do it over and over as quick as we can to make them money. And so far, we're doing a pretty good job. You know, I don't know of anybody that would rather do it a different way. You know, if they're with us and they like them, they know they will make money.
Well, sure, and that's really the most important thing is, one, to make money, and two, that you're not up all night worrying about it. Your stress level has to go down because you're not worried about anything, because investing in life insurance policies, totally separate from the stock market, totally separate from worldly events, any kind of outside factor is a non-issue.
That's right. And what I like is not only are you not getting up at midnight, you know, your hair is not turning gray.
Yeah, at least from
that. I have people that their hair turned gray because of the stress level of the stock market.
Yeah.
And they finally came to me and said, we don't need any more stress. We don't want to do this anymore. We've stressed over the stock market for 20 years.
Yeah.
And they don't want to do it anymore. They want it to be solid and the gains to be there, and they are with us.
You know, and sometimes, you know, I think we make it sound like it's almost too easy and too good to be true, but it really actually is, because the way the process works, it's set up this way. By default, there's nothing to worry about unless maybe the policy goes over. That's one of the risks. But even if that happens, you pay the premiums, and we're not talking about huge chunks of money either.
No, the only one's got that huge chunk is those old 90-year-olds. Remember that. Those are huge chunks. And, we have had to help pay that because the premiums are exorbitant.
Yeah.
But, you know, we have learned a hard lesson. And we know that we love our elderly people, but we don't want to buy their policies ever. I mean, we can't stand any more of that goodness, you know. I mean, that was too much goodness, let me tell you.
Too much goodness.
Yes, and we will remember that the rest of our lives.
So you no longer bid on policies of the elderly. You're specifically looking for specific types of policies to purchase, or to, at least to bid on.
That's right, and we want them to be 70 or under, and we'll take someone 25 years old, if they have cancer, if it's a serious cancer, all the way up to 70. Mm-hmm. And that gives us a good run, you know. That's enough. And we buy mostly term life insurance policies because they are much cheaper than universal life. Universal life has larger premiums. And most of the people nowadays do not have universal life.
Oh, really?
Most of them have a term life policy. And that's what we're looking for. And that's what we're bidding on every day of our life. And, you know, usually we get 5 or 10 policies a weekend, and sometimes 5 a day. And you know, we go through them and say, this one we'll take, this one we won't. And, you know, if they're not really sick, we're not going to do it.
And so when the policy,
if you're not sick, we would never collect on that policy.
It just was like the 90-year-old people.
That's exactly right. And we're not in this to keep these forever.
Yeah.
You know, we want to do a short deal and get this done.
Yeah, because you're out to make money for your clients. That's the whole point.
That's right. And we can't make money if we end up having to eat that policy.
Mm-hmm.
So, we learn what we're supposed to do, and we just do it, you know?
So these policies that you bid on, you're up against other companies because, say I want to sell the policy. Say I've been diagnosed and I need to sell the policy for a number of reasons, maybe cancer treatments because, you know, they're very, very expensive and they need the money. And the other, I guess the other reason that you find that people sell their policies is to go ahead and settle their estate.
And we have a lot of people that need to settle those estates if they're large policy, you know. They are, and if it's a large estate, you know, $15 million, $10 million, you know, they want to get it done, and if it's a small one, it's for cancer treatment always,
mm-hmm.
because once you start, you know, it's every day they're going to say you need to come every day and take chemo, and it's a tough battle, and then you lose after all, so you know that's what happens.
So these people need to actually sell, they have to sell their policy. And for this whole thing to work, they need to get that money. They need to have somebody that's there to purchase the policy for them. And that's where you come in. And so you're helping out the actual policy holder by buying it, allowing them to have a big chunk of change right now when they need it. And then in turn, now you've got this policy. Well, you can do a number of things with it. And investing it or having investors invest in it is a great way to turn it around.
That's exactly right. And the one we just did, we have 37 people in it. So you know the premiums are going to be small. Everybody warned in it, so we limited how much they could put in where we could get more people in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sign off on page 14 every time. And that tells you who it is, what kind of cancer they've got, how many months they've got. It tells you what life insurance company holds the paper. And then it tells you, you know, if it goes over, you know, what you're going to have to pay. So everything you need, you can remind yourself, once you buy that policy, it's right there for you to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And people do forget. And sometimes people will say, well, she said so-and-so. Well, you go back and read that contract, you know. And most people just, they come in and say, Faith, show me where that's at. I'll have people bring in 5 policy contracts and ask me to go over them with them because they forgot. And we do. We go over it with them. Then lots of times I have to make a spreadsheet and show them how many policies have matured, how many policies have not yet matured, and what they've got left and what their profit is. So we do spreadsheets for people if they need it. I had a guy could tell me the other day, well, he said, I've just spent all this money on premiums. He really thought he had. And we did a spreadsheet, and I asked the accountants in our office, I said, well, he says he's just paying thousands out. I said, I don't recall anything that costs thousands. And they said he's really spent $424 a quarter. But sometimes people think it, you know, and they think it must be true if they believe it, you know.
Well, sure.
But we're always glad to do a spreadsheet, show them what they've got, how much they've made, you know. And I had one that we did a spreadsheet the other day. And she'd made $294,000 in 2 years.
Wow.
And then we had another policy mature after that. So she made another
$25,000. Wow.
So you know, a lot of people have made $250,000 in the last 2 years.
So say somebody, and I know it varies every time, but say, just generally speaking, say somebody has made over 3 years $250,000. How much would somebody normally expect, say a couple policies go over here and there, how much would somebody expect to pay in those premiums? Because we talk about that being one of the risks, and I'm sure that, you know, as soon as people say, oh, I've got to pay something out, they start thinking how much, and they're weighing, you know, how much is coming in and how much is going out. So how much?
Well, most of our policies, the premiums are like $149 a year. You know, but we've got some that, you know, are $1,000 mm-hmm. a year. Those are older policies, you know, like that we bought 2 years ago. But most of the ones we're buying now, the premiums are just, you know, $750 a year for the whole policy.
So out of several thousands of dollars, we're talking about a couple hundred in premiums, so it's not much.
Yeah, lots of times it is. And lots of times everybody was embarrassed to bill people the other day on that one policy because it was like $49 a piece. But I said, no, we have to do it because our books will be out of order.
Yeah.
I said, we finally got to bill them. So, I billed them, I think, for 2 quarters, where it would be more at one time.
Is this the policy with like 37 people in it?
No, that's one of the others.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember the one with 37 people. I'll have to look that one up and tell you next week. But I don't remember right offhand how much the premium was. And then every once in a while, we buy some that are paid up. Can you imagine?
Wow.
If the policy is paid up, gosh, that's a home run.
Then you don't even have
to
worry about
it. Doesn't matter what happens, you're not going to be out anything.
Yeah. So at that point, it's just you invest, you set it and forget it and wait for Faye to call you and say, hey, you got some money.
That's right. Or if I email and say, congratulations, your policy's just matured.
And what so do that, people do the first time they get that notification?
They send me a nice little note immediately. Bye, you're great, you're wonderful.
Put me in another one.
Yeah, they say you've done it again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So the first time somebody has a policy mature, do they tend to have invested, maybe think about it for several weeks, and they're always wondering what's going to happen, and then they go about their lives, they forget about it, and then all of a sudden they get that notice, hey, this policy has matured, you've made X amount of dollars, is it like surprise money, or?
Oh, yeah, they're always shocked, because they had gotten busy, they had forgot about it, and they knew they had it, but they didn't have any idea when it was going to mature. And then when it matured early, they were shocked, but they were very excited too.
Wow.
They were very glad.
Cool.
As I said, I've only got a couple that just act like it's routine. Everybody else just gets really excited,
Yeah.
But I've got two different people that just, they don't say much. But everybody else, sends me notes and says thank you. And they thank the staff, because they know that our staff has to help get them ready every time, when I select a policy. So it is very interesting.
It is a wonderful program, I tell you what. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage. I wonder how much free advertising I've done over the last 8 years.
I don't know. They may owe you a chocolate pie just for all that you do.
Oh, they owe me big time, yes.
You can always go to the website, which is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. There's case studies there. There's actual hardcore numbers of past investments. You'll see what investors have already been making. You can read testimonials to find out what people's experience has been like. Every Saturday morning around this time, we start getting into trivia, and you always bring some interesting knowledge. What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about a horse.
A horse?
A horse, of course. A famous horse.
Oh.
Yes. Right. Have you ever heard of Cutter Bill?
I feel like I should say yes, but I'm going to go with no.
Cutter Bill is one of the most famous cutting horses in the world, probably.
All right.
He was owned by Rex Cobble, Denton, Texas.
Oh.
Heck of a story. He had the best arena probably in the world. He was just a very famous cutting horse, made millions. He was a world champion, earned several world champion titles for cutting, thousands of dollars in the 60s. Then he had all these little horses, of course, and they were famous. And they put a statue of him to the entrance of the Cobble Ranch. And it had, now you're not going to believe all this, it had 1,524 gold leaves on it.
Really?
Yes. And you'd drive by there up Interstate 35, and you'd always see that horse at the entrance of the ranch. Very famous horse. Everybody in Texas knew about the horse. Then later, Rex Cobble started Cutter Bill's Western stores, one in Dallas, one in Houston. They were very famous. I mean, they had the best Western wear money could buy. I went in there several times, bought a lot of stuff back in those years. And then They also put a statue of Cutter Bill outside each store. He was that famous.
Wow.
Now then, in later life, Rex Cobble was accused of being a smuggler.
No.
Oh, yeah. And before it was over, a guy that had worked for him on one of his ranches, he had a lot of ranches in Texas, owned a ranch in South America, and they got after him, and they were after him hard, and this guy came out of prison and testified against him in court and said, oh, yes, Rex Cobble was the mastermind, and that that he was the one who created all the marijuana they were running. And, you know, they convicted the man. It was such a shame. He owned Western Bank. He owned all kinds of businesses. They took most of his businesses, most of his ranches. His wife got the rest of it.
Oh,
Yeah. And his stepson, they got the rest of it. And I don't know how they convicted him of embezzlement. I mean, these were businesses he owned. But they convicted him. He went to Big Spring to the federal prison for 13 months.
Wow.
He spent the rest of his life trying to clear his name to prove that, you know, he wasn't a bad guy. I mean, he was the most distinguished guy. He had custom-made Western suits, Western boots. He always wore a bolo tie with a scarf at the top.
Cool.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was always so impressed by the looks of this gentleman, but he lost it all. And his horse lived 26 years, and he was able to bury the horse before he died. And in later years, the courts ruled that his wife had to give him $7,000 a month to live on.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And it was such a shame, but it was such a story. And now the statue of the horse has been returned to Denton, Texas.
Really?
Yes, it's been returned. It had an owner. It came off the ranch, of course. You know, they sold it, the government did. And I just read this week that the horse has been returned, and a guy has got it on display outside his store. And everybody comes in and talks about Cutter Bill, the most famous horse in the world.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
Man, it's such a sad story.
It's a sad story that a gentleman like this and the ex-employees that were in prison testified against him, and they believed him.
Really?
And I'll always wonder if he was really guilty. I mean, he had everything. Why would he have smuggled marijuana?
Yeah, I mean, especially... Now,
they said he was letting them use his ranches as a staging area for the marijuana. And I've always disbelieved that, personally. Now, you know, they convicted him, and he went to prison for a very short time, 13 months. But I just can't believe anybody that wealthy, you know, would have been involved in that.
Yeah, I mean...
Because he had everything. He had ranches all over the world, and then he had Cutter Bill Western stores, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway... I wouldn't have believed somebody that was in prison, would you?
No, I wouldn't.
No, I wouldn't have believed that old boy at all.
And I wonder, did they have any proof or any evidence, or did they just go by what people said?
I can't remember. It's been so long ago. But I think most of it was just word of mouth of these convicts.
Wow.
As well as I can remember.
That is, it's so strange. It's so bizarre because that's not really.
You know, it's just it's shocking that this could have happened to this guy. You know, I mean, with as many assets he had millions of assets.
Yeah.
And if he needed money, you know, he owned a bank. He could have went to another bank and borrowed money because he owned a bank.
Yeah.
So anyway, it went bad, went horribly wrong. But his horse was very, very famous. And that made him famous, and maybe that's what happened. Maybe he got too famous.
Well, that might be. Sometimes fame and wealth does things to people.
That's right, and sometimes it can turn out, you know, like you say, in a bad way.
Wow. But the statue has been returned.
The statue's been returned to Denton, Texas.
Wow, cool.
And I think that's marvelous.
Yeah.
And the guy said people come in every day talking about Cutterbill, talking about Rex Cobble, and a lot of them knew him real well and about what a gentleman he was and about how famous the horse was, how many how many times they'd seen him in cutting horse events, and he won all these world championship titles. I mean, to have a horse this famous, he had other horses, but nothing like Cutterbill.
Wow.
Yeah. One of the most famous horses in the world.
And I know sometimes when somebody rises to fame, people generally like to tear them down, and sometimes they'll try to build them back up again, but... You know, people who end up, you know, that I guess famous, you know, people just like to sometimes remove them from that throne.
That's exactly right. And it could be that he'd become so famous, you know, that maybe he had turned these old boys down and they said, well, you know, we'll use his ranch. And he won't. How would anybody even know that somebody was at night on your ranch is way away, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the ranches weren't here that they used. They were in South Texas somewhere. And these guys were unloading and loading marijuana. And I just don't... I find it hard to believe that an owner way up here would have known about it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he may have had, ranch hands down there and, you know, people working that. But golly, you know, if he's up here and the ranches are down there, he may not have ever known. But they found a way to... You know, I guess pass off the blame, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and those guys that testified got a lighter sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, by bringing him down, you know, help them. He spent the rest of his life trying to clear his name.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And he obviously didn't have a lot of money when he came back because they had taken, you know, his ranches, everything he had. But his wife got half of everything because, you know, she was a half owner.
Yeah.
So she came out all right.
Wow, still
came out smelling like a rose.
Wow.
But it is kind of sad, but the horse was a wonderful story.
Yeah, that part's wonderful. And the statue was returned, so that's good too.
I thought the statue being returned to Denton, Texas was a heck of a deal, and people really appreciate it, and you know, can look at that beautiful statue of that horse. And they've redone it, got the gold back on the horse.
Oh, really? Great.
So, I mean, it shows very well.
Wow. Cool.
Yeah.
Well,
how about that?
That may be something to go down and see, and when you do, remember the story.
That's right. It'd be a nice little outing to go and see the horse.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to have to put that on my list of field trips again.
That's right. You're going to have so many field trips. How are you going to get it all done?
I'm not going to get it done. I can't.
You're going to have to declare every day a Saturday.
You're going to have to go back to making every day Saturday again.
That's right. That way you just don't have to worry about it. Love that.
Well, you've thought of everything, haven't you?
I have, man. Today is one of those days. I'm on a roll.
Oh, wow. Faye is changing the world. That's amazing.
That's it. I want to change the world one day at a time.
One day at a time.
You bet.
We'll start with Saturday.
Let's start with Saturday and chocolate pie.
And chocolate pie. Oh, that's brilliant. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. The phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Springs, right next to Ivy Cottage. And if you're coming from out of town, you would just come around the loop to Big Spring and go south on Big Spring, and it's right past Wadley.
Now,
on the right.
Now, here's the thing. You can't just show up, because Faye's very busy. So
that's right. Don't show up. Just please call. Please make an appointment, and I'll give you all the time you need.
Yes. You're happy to see everybody.
I will see everybody, but please make an appointment. You know, it hadn't been as bad as last year. Last year, I'd look up, and my secretary being there said, Faye, this gentleman couldn't come by. I just thought he'd stop in. They were always just stopping by. They didn't realize I might have other people and other appointments at that time of day.
Well, yeah, and you don't want to leave somebody just sitting there forever.
No, we don't like to do that at all. But anyway, we've had a lot of people come in at noon, and they don't realize everybody else thinks about noon, and they come in at noon.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's very, very interesting.
Yeah, so go ahead and make an appointment. And I mean, you've got times for appointments this coming week, right?
That's right. And we want to see people. We want to help them. That's what we're here for, to help them to make money and retire early and happy and wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And as I always say, wealth is different for every person. But we want to make it in your realm where you'll have enough to last a long time. We
right.
don't want your money to run out at 10 years. We want you to have, you know, like guaranteed 20, 25 years.
Well, yeah. I mean, the last thing you want to do is retire, and then in 10 years you realize, uh-oh, we're out. Well, I got to go back to work. You don't want to do that.
You're going to be too old in 10 to go
yeah,
back to work.
Exactly.
And your children do not want to hear from you. They don't want you calling at the door, hey, we need to move in.
Yeah.
That's a bad thing.
They'll just show up at the kids' house.
Oh, yeah, that's a bad deal.
Yeah, that's not
just
good.
Like when they show up at your house and say, you know, we just can't make the mortgage. We got to move in. And you go, I thought we had them out of the house.
Yeah.
But they come back sometimes.
You don't want to do that. And so all that takes is just some simple planning. And you can help people get on that plan. You can say, okay, here's where you are now. Here's where you want to be, when you want to be. And you put them on the right trajectory and get them all taken care of.
That's right. We want to get them stabilized, get them to making money, get their IRAs in there, get their 401 switched over, and make them some money. And, you know, do it in a timely fashion
mm-hmm.
where when you get ready to retire, the money is there. And you can retire, just leave the money where it's at, and it'll just keep making money.
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about it. We've got four people that retired in January, and we're just sending them checks.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's just mailbox money is really all it is.
That's right. But they need to not take too much out. That's the only thing that scares me.
Mm-hmm.
They've never had this much money. So they're taking pretty healthy chunks.
So what do you do?
I am a little worried about that.
When that happens, do you step in and just advise them, or are they?
I start mentioning it. You know, let's don't take too much out. $60,000 a year, yes, I can see that. $50,000 a year, yes. But when you get to $100,000, you know, you're taking all the profit out.
Yeah, well,
you're taking $100,000. You're taking that profit out before I can even get it made.
Because when
but $60,000 is fine. I don't mm-hmm. worry about it.
You'll plan this out for them, and so you're basically putting them on a retirement budget.
That's right. Where that they'll have plenty of money, they can still have fun. You know, I don't like the people that in the trust department, some of the banks, and I don't know if they still do it. But years ago, I had a lady that I knew, her husband passed away, he'd been in the oil business. He put all the money at the bank in stocks. She went down to the bank shortly after he died. She needed a new car. They said, we don't think that's feasible. They would not give her the money because they controlled it.
Really?
And then later, she needed money, and they said, no, we don't think that's a good idea.
Uh-huh.
And we had one person at Republic Bank, and of course Republic's no longer in business in Dallas. This girl was worth $4 million. She signed a contract to buy a house. The bank went out and made an inspection. No, we don't think it's a good idea. She defaulted on the sale of a house.
Really?
She had to sue them to get her money moved to a different bank.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't recommend putting it in the trust department of a bank and them controlling it.
What?
You need to be calling the shots.
Oh, yes.
If you're going to put it in the trust department, you call the shots, not the bank.
Exactly. I mean, it's your money.
It is still your money.
So have you ever had somebody say, well, you know, Faye, I'm just going to take a little bit more than we really should, and then maybe you advise them maybe to think that again. What do you say if somebody says, well, you know, I can't take it with me, so I might as well just use it?
There's not anything I can say. Again, it's their money. It's not mine.
Mm-hmm.
If they spend it all, you know, it's just going to be a sad day. That's what it is.
So,
you know, I'm telling them, and that's all I can do.
So the bottom line is you're an advisor. You're not their mama.
I'm not their mama. I'm going to try to help them preserve it, preserve the principal, preserve the interest. But they've never had this kind of money, a lot of them. So that first year is kind of tough. They want to spend a lot of it.
Oh, well, yeah, I'm sure. And I'm
so
sure
anyway,
it's probably...
we have to get them to come to their senses.
It's probably a really comforting relationship when you can, you know, help keep people on track. And I'm sure if you say things to you know, some of your clients, you know, hey, you may be taking a little bit more, I'm sure they're probably very appreciative of that. Oh, geez, we didn't realize or whatever.
Yeah, slow down just a little.
Yeah.
Yeah, slow down just a little.
Cool. All right, so for someone who is ready to get started, what is the age that is too much? Because I know people hear all the time, you got to start early, got to start early. When is it too late?
When they're in their 80s, you know, I mean, whatever they've got, they've already got.
Mm-hmm.
And unless their children come with them, their grandchildren, unless somebody is in charge with them, we're not going to do it. Now, we can make them some money, but I do not want an elderly person in charge without somebody being with them.
Well, you know, it's always good to have that checks and balance system, another pair of eyes on it.
Oh, you've got to. At that age, they might make a horrible mistake, and we don't want that to happen.
Yeah, and it's just to protect them.
You know, it's like when you're in your 80s and you say, I need a new car. And I'm going, are you still driving? And they're going, oh, yes. And I'm going, oh, my gosh. If I meet this person on the street, they're going to run over us. Oh, my gosh. And I'm thinking they need a driver.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? So, you know, when you're in your 80s, and sometimes they just decide to spend money foolishly, mm-hmm. you know? And like somebody who's tithed all their life. Okay,
yeah.
They've already tithed on this money, probably twice, and they suddenly want to send it away, you know, to people, and that is a very frightening thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then their kids come in and talk to me, and I've had that happen, and they said, Faye, they want to give a third of it away.
Oh,
I'm going,
wow.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm going, well, we need to sit down and have a chat, you know, and explain to them. How many times they've already tithed with that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you first got it, when you first made that money, you tithed then, that year.
Yeah.
And you don't keep tithing that same amount of money 5 years later or 10.
Yeah. It's almost like double taxing yourself.
That's right. And we want them to tithe. Heavens, they need to tithe. But don't tithe the same money three times.
Yeah, yeah. And so you can help people keep straight, keep track of it and straighten everything out.
That's right. And their kids need to be involved.
Yeah. So for somebody who is ready to get started, what kind of policies, what are we looking at for availability, for what, you know, is being bid on in the next couple of weeks? What's the landscape look like?
Well, we should have plenty of policies. We're behind again because we didn't get the papers back on those two large ones mm-hmm. that we should have already had back. Hopefully for the, Monday morning, we will be ready on those and be putting people in those, hopefully.
Okay, and you're always bidding on new policies.
Every day of my life, that's what I do. I bid the policies. I tell the people, this is how much I want to bid it for the client. This is how much the client's got to make. This is how much I've got to make.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we do every day.
The important thing is, though, for you know, the people at home, start now. It's time to start gathering your documents together, get your business in order. What kinds of things do they need to have ready before they come see you?
Well, they've got to show where that money is now, where it's coming from, where it is, and because our banks require that. They require a statement, okay? So you need to get a statement and do that.
Okay. And one final time, and you have a room for appointments this coming week, you said, right?
Yes, we do. We will be doing new appointments this week.
Okay, and the appointment for, or the number for people to call is?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we are right next door to Ivy Cottage at 3105 Big Spring.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.